Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello everybody and welcome to the 84th episode of the most popular Nuggets podcast among mailmen, hairdressers and weightlifters, I'm guessing. Welcome to the DNVR Nuggets' Serbian Corner. My name is Miroslav Ćuk and I have an awesome guest for this show, so let me first blab my usual 3-minute rant out of the way. The week started with the All-Star game in Indianapolis and several all-time records were broken in one single game. First of all, never in the All-Star history, and not only that, never in basketball history, period, have we seen 101 missed three-point attempts in one game. Karl Anthony Towns joined the elite list of players who scored 50 points in a 25-point loss, and Luka Doncic recorded the slowest televised layup in the history of both television and basketball. After that, we got what felt to be the longest regular season break ever, and it finally ended when the mighty Wizards came to town. It was the last team Nikola Jokic didn't mark in my triple doubles per game ranking, and it was visible from the start that he knew of this stat. He almost had a triple double in the first half. He was one assist short, but that was fixed early in the third and ended up in a triple 15 game. Yeah, that's the term I just made up. It was Nikola's sixth triple 15 game of his career. And that's two times more than how many guys like Magic Johnson and Jason Kidd have. Still, he has some work to do to catch the all-time leader in triple 15s. And that's Oscar Robertson with, you've guessed it, 15 such games. We also saw a great first scoring half from MPJ. And overall good games from Jamal, Aaron Gordon, Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, and even Zeke Nnaji. Oh boy, I'm afraid to imagine what we would think about the Nuggets if they could play the Wizards four times per season, like some other teams. Just 20-something hours later, the champs were already in Moda Center in Portland, listing off one of their last three back-to-back sets this season. And it was a perfect back-to-back to get back to game speed. Lousy Blazers had no chance against another triple-double from Nikola, although he missed another triple 15 by one assist. MPJ recorded his second consecutive double-double while putting up his second 30-plus point game this season. He looks the best he looked like offensively in the last three seasons, I believe. But the show was stolen by one of our two-way guys, Colin Gillespie, who had 18 points while hitting all of his four threes and being plus 23 in 24 minutes on the court. Okay, that is enough of me. Let's get to the actual show for today. My guest for today is a writer and digital content specialist for the Denver Nuggets. But aside from his great writing and film work, he's mostly known for being one of the most positive and optimistic persons in Nuggetsverse. Welcome to the Serbian Corner to Matt Brooks.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to do this, and I was thrilled when you reached out. This is like a cool thing for me to do, and yeah, I'm excited to just kind of get to know everybody on the Nuggets side of things. I'm still pretty new around here, so I'm excited for today.
Yeah, we've seen some conversations on Twitter like, Matt, when are you going to appear on one of the podcasts? Your coverage is so great. And then you had to show, I'm actually coming to serving on a Saturday. So, so that worked out perfectly. So before we get into the stuff that you do, I just wanted to do a quick scan of the last two games we've seen. So let's open with those two games in the last 48 hours. We have to throw out the caveat of the champs playing against two rebuilding teams, to use that nice euphemism. But the Nuggets really looked like a well-rested team, ready to make that final regular season push. How important is this All-Star break for the players, in your opinion, you know, before those games?
Yeah, I mean, everybody looks rested is probably the good way to put it. You know, and I think coming out of the break, you're playing two teams that are, 15 wins and 9 wins. That's definitely not a bad way to go into your final 27 games. But what you want to see when you play a team that does have a losing record is you want them to take care of business, right? Like, you don't want to make this one of these games where, oh, it goes down to crunch time and we have to play Nikola and Jamal and go to the two-man game. Like, they took care of business. I honestly think, like, every single player that they've played has looked good or had good moments. I mean, like, from Zeke to Colin to Christian had a double-double. Peyton had 3 blocks in the third quarter against the Wizards. Like, you really got to see a good stretch or just good play overall from every single guy. They took care of business. They're up 20 in both games. It's just what you want to see. And it makes me feel, like, really good about the Nuggets closing out the season strong, ideally getting a really good seed, but most of all, just playing their best basketball as they head into the playoffs.
The Wizards are, just to explain how bad the Wizards are, they have one win more than the Detroit Pistons, who were in the contention for the worst regular season in NBA history. So it is what it is. But I agree with you. Even Zeke Nnaji, who had the most critics from the Nuggets fans during this season for his play, I famously said that I feel like he wasn't in control for most of the season when he was on the court. He was looking over his shoulder, you know, trying to be sure that he will not make any errors on the court, and that always, you know, brings a lot of tension to a player and actually can cause mistakes. But he looked awesome in the Washington game, which is what we all of us really wanted to see and feel really good about it.
Yeah, I date it back to like mid-February where he's looked really good, because he had that good game against the Kings too, right before the break. And it's always nice when a guy can like have rhythm and then take a week off and pick up where he left off. Because I don't know, like, I think a lot of them, yeah, they had that 3-game losing streak heading into the break, but I don't think they were thinking about it as they're coming out of the break. I think they're just Jamal, I think, literally said, oh, that was a week ago. Like, I'm not thinking about that anymore. So it's been nice to see Zeke play that way. He just, I think the way you put it is really good. He looks very poised defensively. He's been really good, but it's his control on offense that looks good to me. He doesn't look rushed. He's making smart plays. He had that, I think this was yesterday, right? Where somebody took a shot and he caught the rebound all in one motion and went back up with it. It's like one of the best plays I've seen from him this year. That's all he needs to do is just, make simple plays like that and just play, you know, poised and calm, I think is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, I always make this kind of a logical error when I start the shows. I always start with the like end of bench guys and always forget to talk about the big guy for some reason. So I'm going to make a concentrated effort now to speak about the big guy. So before the All-Star break, Nikola had a 5 consecutive non-triple-double games, by far the longest drought this season. And I kind of started contemplating making a list of players with real case of having a better season than him so far. But when you see him dissecting the other team when his guys are hitting their shots at a good rate and that opens up lanes for tougher passes, it looks like it's his league again. Am I overreacting after 2 easy wins against bad competition, or did Nikola just remind us how incredible he can be?
what I liked is that he said after the Wizards game, because somebody asked him, like, oh, are you feeling rested? And he just goes, no. No, I'm not feeling rested. And it's like, this is what Nikola Jokic can do when he's not rested, is just have back-to-back triple-doubles. Like, you never worry about Nikola. Like, you just never do. You never do. It's okay, he's tired. They played whatever. He played All-Star game, and then he's going to play three games in four nights. That's fine. He's going to put up a triple-double and miss, like, two shots while doing it. He's miraculous. It's been a really good reminder, and his passing has just been so good for the last month. There have just been so many highlight plays he's made. I mean, he had the behind the back to AG, the full court touchdown pass, I think also to AG. He's been just unbelievable. And I think he's done a really good job of, like, balancing how much he needs to pass and score. And I think you see that with how many guys have played well alongside him.
Yeah, the full disclosure, I didn't watch either of these two games live. I watched them tomorrow morning, you know, in a normal time in Serbia. And I have to be, it's strange. You feel like, yeah, two easy wins against bad competition. But then when you watch Nikola and see all of those highlight moves, I find myself taking a lot of time to watch the actual games, because I'm returning, you know, the frames back. Yeah. A lot of time. It's just crazy. It's just, he was trying out shit like passes behind his back, stuff like that. It's just, you could see he was feeling himself, and it's a really, really great thing to see from him. But the other guy that looked amazing in these two games is MPJ. So He is crashing the boards, and that warms my heart. But he's also feeling himself, taking some tough sidestep shots, and he's really good at those. Michael really is an X factor in this team. They're 6-2 when he scores 25 or more. That's a 62 win pace on a small volume, to be fair. Was he the guy that benefited from rest the most after playing the most games of all the Nuggets this season?
Yeah, it seems like it. I thought Jamal was really good too. In the game, that first game, I thought he was just moving well. He's like getting downhill, getting to the rim, posting up Tyus Jones a couple times. So I thought he was really good. But yeah, Mike's looked great. I've liked how much they've let him run the offense, and by that I mean, like, he'll come off a handoff with Nikola, and he's done, like, really well in those settings. He had a couple plays against Washington where he'd run something with Nikola and he'd actually have two defenders jump out to him because he was shooting so well. And he made it looks like an easy pass, but, you know, you still have to make the read and not shoot it yourself. And he made that pass to Nikola. I thought beyond just, like, the shots that he's hitting, I think his passing's been really good. His pace has been great. He's really stood out. And I mean, the shot making has been awesome. I'm like shocked when he misses right now.
My favorite trait of his is how much of a team guy he is, how selfless he is, how he is so excited to talk about the other guys on the team and how great they are for the team. And that's something that you don't see from the super talented guys too often. Like, they want to be on their brand and not the other guy's brand. So that was a huge positive revelation for me, you know, watching him for all of these seasons on the Nuggets. And you can really see him maturing as a person as well. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, even since I've been here, and that's been since March, he's just like, I feel like he's even matured in that time. He's remarkable to me because, you know, this guy's like a number one recruit. He's one of the best high school players ever. And a lot of times for the Nuggets, he's like third in the pecking order and he's spotting up away from the ball. He's not a guy that has the ball in his hands a ton. I think the last two games has been like a really good reminder of, like, he's able to do stuff if you put the ball in his hands. He just doesn't get the opportunity to do it that much, but you never hear him complain ever. He's a great teammate. He had that last night. He had during his presser with Scott Hastings, he was talking about, you could like see his face light up talking about Collin's game. he's just like, he does not get enough credit to me at all for how good of a teammate he is and how selfless he is.
Yeah, so we have a question here about, or comment about Colin, and that was actually my next question is, I just have to ask you about the Colin Gillespie, Jalen Pickett dynamic. It's not really a big topic since we are talking about two guys who should be the third string, who should be the third string point guard this season. But Michael Malone seems to really like and trust Colin, and he absolutely responded with a great game last night. What is your read on this, since Calvin Booth obviously traded a pick to get the chance to draft Jalen and give him the long-term deal, and now we see Colin getting all of those minutes, you know, when Jamal is out?
Yeah, I think what's really good about Colin is, he is a really good shooter, like A-plus shooter, and that just helps next to Nikola or anybody, but he is a really good shooter. He's somebody that gets off the ball early and moves, and I think that stuff is also obviously really good next to Nikola. So you saw that a couple times yesterday. He'd take the ball up and quickly get it to Nikola at the elbow and then just go right to the rim, right to the rim. He'd either like go and fake like he's setting a screen and slip to the rim, or not even do that and just get to the rim. And I think that stuff really shines next to Nikola. When you talk about Jalen, Jalen's tricky because I think – to me, whenever I watch him play, I feel like he's still acclimating to playing with Nikola, in that he's a slower player, which is fine. You don't need to be like a speed demon to play with Nikola. But what you do need to do is like make decisions really quickly, get off the ball quickly and move. And I think that part is still coming for him. And part of that is, you know, I mean, you guys made up the term, I'm pretty sure, with booty ball, right? Like no. that style of play that he has, where he's turning his body around and he's trying to get guys on his backside, it works for him. But what it also means is it's taking time off the shot clock. It's taking more time to get into the offense. And when you play with Nikola, you want to get into stuff really quickly and move so he can take his time and dissect things and then make the best possible play.
Yeah, we have one more question for this segment from Gabriel Greer. It's a pretty random one, but I told the people that they can prepare their questions for you. And the question is, what does Sabonis and the Kings have on the Nugs? Sacramento is dominating Denver. What is the issue?
Back-to-backs. They played them twice. They played them twice on back-to-backs. I don't know. Those games have been weird because two of them were on back-to-backs, right? And then the last one was the game right before the break, where I'm going to go ahead and say everybody was pretty ready to get to the break. Those are some sleepy pressers. It was just like everybody was ready to go. And I get it. I mean, I think everybody's ready for vacation. You obviously didn't want to come into the break on a loss, but I haven't been putting a ton of stock into those. I think the Nuggets will be fine in that matchup, personally.
Yeah, and what's funny is we have a theory about the team just trolling Michael Malone because he used to be the head coach of Sacramento Kings, and he takes those games to heart, and the team just flops every time. They have a horrible record against Sacramento during these nine years, like a much worse version of Sacramento Kings. Got a lot of wins against the Nuggets, so it is what it is. It's kind of trolling and kind of funny. Okay, let's take our first short break, and then we'll return with some interview stuff. Don't go anywhere.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay, it is time to get to know Matt a bit better. So let's start with the basics. What does the title writer and digital content specialist mean when working for the NBA franchise?
My primary duties are writing. So any game preview, game recap stuff, feature stuff, I go to practice, I want to write something up. I think the digital content specialist is just, I will do, and this is something I've done before I took the Nuggets job, is I like to put together like YouTube breakdowns. I've started doing a little more TikTok stuff. So I think that's the digital content specialist. Also do like, you know, like podcasting stuff, stuff like this, you know, and anything that comes along with that. So I'm not just like a pure beat writer. I don't think there's many, I mean, I guess there's jobs like that still left over, but a lot of these jobs are kind of going that way where you want to be multifaceted and be able to do different things, do podcasts, put together breakdowns. And I think that's kind of what the digital specialist refers to.
Okay, so where are you originally from and how did you your career look like before working on the Nuggets?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm from California originally and graduated school with a psychology degree, did sales for 2 years, and I started writing on the side, I think during my second year out of school. And then I knew just from writing, like just doing it as a hobby, I was like, well, I really want to, wonder what I can do with this work wise, which was like, in hindsight was a crazy thing to do. Cause it's like such a, it is such a brutal and competitive industry, but me, I'm like 23. I don't know. I'm not aware of how competitive it is. So, I had the opportunity to live out in New York and did that. And kind of took my first gig out there. It was doing like social media stuff. And then from there, got a blogging gig and continued to work my way up. Got credentialed with the Nets. What was that, like 4 years ago, I think? 4 or 5 years ago. And then started working from there and then kind of networked and met people. And eventually that kind of got me out here in Denver. So it's just a, you know, kind of a that started from the bottom type of story and worked my way up.
Yeah. So would you mind explaining what does your day-to-day work look like or day-to-night?
Let's see. I mean, it's probably not that different from anybody that covers the team, honestly. Like I'll have meetings in the morning if you guys want to know about that. And then if there's a practice, I'll have that. And then game time at night, I'll have to do a preview in the morning and then I'll do a game recap at night. And then everything that I'm doing in between a lot of times is on my own time. So I'm doing a story right now, kind of a little bit about the trade deadline and just sort of like the view of the team right now. And that's something that I've been working on kind of between games and stuff like that. So it's I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm not, you know, going on big meetings with the heads of whatever. Like I'm a beat reporter. I'm there at games and I'm there at practice.
You mentioned something really interesting to me, but I'll come back to that.
Okay.
So how close can you get to the coaching staff and to the players aside from pressers? And who are the easiest guys on both the coaching staff and among players to work with?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can get to know people. I definitely feel like working for a team has allowed me to like talk to people that I probably wouldn't able to talk to in Brooklyn, for example. But, you know, I think all of that comes with time and just people getting used to you and knowing you. I mean, you guys have been covering the team for a long time, right? And you guys have relationships with people. So that's something I'm still kind of working on, to be completely candid, is like getting to know people. I'm still really new. I've only been here since March. And I just appeared one day in Michael Malone's presser. I was just in the crowd one day asking questions. And I, so I, that is, I think you can. It's like anything. You know, it doesn't matter who you work for, whether you're with the team or elsewhere. At the end of the day, it's you're still being a human being talking to another human being, and they've got to get to know you that way. So, yeah, I think it all depends on how you gel with people.
People have great questions here. Do you travel to all or any of the road games? And not, it's not really a thing in the regular season, right, for you?
Yeah. I don't during the regular season. Did last year's playoffs, and assuming I will this year. But yeah, I'm not doing it during the regular season, which is fine. I'm cool with it. I like Denver. I'm still new here, so it's been cool to be able to see the city.
It's hard to explain how perfect was your timing for coming to work on the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
You came there and like 3 months later, they won the first championship in like 50 years of team history. So what were your impressions from the moment the Nuggets won game 5 against the Heat all the way to the championship parade?
First impressions, I was probably really stressed, I think, because I had to do like 2 articles. But once I like got my work done, because I was like, I want to get this done, because I know it's at this point we're into the celebration period. Once I was like done, it really started to hit. You know, you're walking through the halls, people are celebrating. Was in the locker room for a second, and then even on the way out, I ran into Zach Lowe, who was like somebody I knew from Brooklyn, and it was cool. Like, he was somebody I read. Like, Zach's like the reason I got into doing sports writing and everything like that. And I just happened to run into him in the hall. I think I'd seen him at game 2, but I didn't even know he was in town for game 5. And Zach was like, you know, basically like, wow, you've had a good year, huh? Like, because he saw me in Brooklyn that season before that team blew up into a billion pieces. So it was kind of a surreal, like, storybook ending for me personally. I mean, I know the city obviously feels that times 1,000, but for me, it was just a cool, nice, rewarding thing. Coming in and covering the team in March and being so new was definitely like an adjustment for me. But for it to kind of pay off with something that I'd never experienced, which was being there for a finals and then seeing the team that I now work for win, was like, I don't know, like, it still hasn't fully hit me, I think, almost.
So how do you cover the parade after it's done? So I was obviously in Serbia, far away from that, so I had 2 TVs on with 2 different, you know, Denver TV stations doing the live stream of the parade, and it was overwhelming for me even from that far away. But did you do some stuff about the parade on the nuggets.com afterwards?
Yeah, I did. I think I did an article. It was hard though, because like I couldn't use a lot of it. I can't print certain things on the website. And there was, I was like, I'll say that was a PG-13 celebration, like every single celebration. So it was a lot of like going through the interviews and or whatever, like I guess like the guys being on stage and figuring out what I could use. It was, I remember it being a pretty short article the next day, but yeah, I wrote something. I wrote about you know Yoke's famous I want to be on, you know, the fucking parade. Like, that was great, I thought. So, but beyond that, yeah, it was just kind of, it was pretty light. They were just really excited. So,
yeah, excellent, excellent time. Okay, let's take one more short break, and then we'll continue a bit more on your everyday job. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans.
After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Okay, we are back. And this is probably the toughest thing I'm going to ask you because I'm not sure how much you can share. So do you have a favorite anecdote from working with the Nuggets you want and you're allowed to share with the audience?
Favorite anecdote? Ooh, I did, this one. This was the one of the ones I was hoping I'd have something for because we talked about doing this. Yeah, I don't really know if I have anything that crazy. Like this week was fun because Reggie was running up. He literally like, so this is the All-Star break, right? And Reggie's the last presser that we get. This is not like my favorite. This was just one that I thought was really funny. And this is when I knew the team was going to come out of the break really feeling good. I'm in a little early. Let me track back. So before the break, Reggie was like the last presser after the Kings game. And I think it was me or somebody else asked him like, oh, what are you doing from the break? And he just goes, sleep. I'm going to sleep. And then let's fast forward to the Wizards game a week later. I come in a little early because I was working on something. And sure enough, I see Reggie Jackson like decked out in the new Nuggets. I don't know if you've seen like the new the like retro sweatshirt that Nikola was wearing as a kid.
Yeah.
So he's wearing that head to toe and he is just running up the hall singing. And I was like, oh, all right. So I guess they enjoyed the break. Like he really did sleep the whole time. So I thought that was great. Any of the stuff in the locker room was really cool after, just because I never had that. I think as like a journalist, you have like your things you want to achieve in your career, your vision board, if you will. That was not on there. A championship celebration, a locker room, was not something I thought would happen. So that was pretty cool for me, but I don't have any like really crazy stories. Those I think were the two, but that locker room was crazy for me.
By the way, I have a comment on the retro sweatshirt that Altitude Authentics just put out. It's great. It looks really good. It's just the letters are yellow, like they should be on the Nuggets old logo. And the knockoff version that young Nikola was wearing had the red letters because it's a very cheap knockoff from Romania or whatever it was made. So it's not 100% up to the original, but yeah, I guess they wanted for it to really look like a retro Nuggets sweatshirt. Okay, so who do you like to work next to the least, and why is it Brandon Vogt?
Brandon was like the first person I met. He really was. He came up to me like first presser. I'm so nervous at this thing. I like don't know what's going on. I was in New York like a week ago, and he comes up. He's like, "Hey, dude, what's your name?" Like super nice. So I love Brandon.
How many guys or girls you have right now on you know normal pressers during the regular season, and is it more comparing to last year when you just came to the town?
Yeah, it feels like a little more. Depends on the game, right? Like the big games, like if you're playing Golden State, like those are pretty filled out. I mean, those, even if it's not a national TV game, you're looking at like 20. I'm so bad at counting, honestly. Like I'm so bad at making estimations. I'm terrible at this stuff. I would say, and keep this in mind, grain of salt, I am so bad at stuff like this. I would say 25-ish to 40 is probably like on the high end. And then normally you're looking at like 15 to 20. So it's a good amount. It's definitely bigger than my last year in Brooklyn. We were pretty diminished there in terms of media numbers. There's much more out here.
So, I mean, this might be a bit controversial, but is there any camaraderie between the people coming to the pressers? Like if somebody has a bad audio of the presser, they will ask for the other guys, to give stuff like that.
For sure. I've definitely asked people for, hey, this didn't come out right. on my end on my recorder. So it's cool. I mean, we all just like hang out before and after when we're waiting for guys to get on the podium. We hang out and kind of talk about the game. We're obviously all huge basketball fans. So we're talking about Zeke Nagy's performance off the bench. Like what we just did to start this podcast is exactly what we're doing in the media rooms. So it's fun. It's great. I mean, we're all Hoops fans.
Sometimes it takes a lot of time to wait for the guys after the game is over. And
yeah, for sure.
Because even before,
yeah, definitely after. I know there's a group of them that like to lift after the game, which is crazy to me. I don't know how they do that. I don't want to go work out no game, so I can't imagine lifting after the game. But yeah, that'll take up a little bit of time. They'll get treatment and stuff like that. So it definitely takes a second. But that's when I do my writing, so I'm cool with it.
Oh yeah, you can put that time into good use, and you can also thank Nikola Jokic for coming earlier from the after game pressers than he used to. Something he changed something in his regime after games. He seems to come to the podium much quicker than before.
I think it was because of his eye. I think it was because getting poked in the eye, there was something that he was doing in his treatment that he couldn't do, or something. I believe that's what I heard. So he was coming in a little bit earlier from pressers.
So is he back to normal, like an hour of waiting?
Who spoke? Gosh, I don't even remember on against Washington. Yeah, I think he spoke. He was back to his like normal time schedule.
Okay.
Yeah. it was a fun week, though. It was good while it lasted.
Oh, one more thing I wanted to ask you about your job. How do you select the clips you want to work on and stories you write about? You know, apart from the recaps and the game previews.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great question. I think the beauty of this job is like I have a lot of freedom within it, which I didn't know what that was going to be like. You're working for it. I never worked for a team before this. So a ton of credit to the Nuggets. Like they definitely let me pick my stories and what I think is interesting, whether that's, hey, I want to go do a film study of here's the key plays from the win against the Lakers from a couple weeks ago. Or, you know, if I'm doing like a sit down with somebody, if I'm sitting down with Peyton Watson, right? Like they're totally like plan out the interview, ask what you want, put it together. We're going to create graphics for social, for quotes and stuff like that. And we're going to get that out. So really it's whatever interests me. I mean, and I am somebody that watches games very closely. If people don't know, I tweet out clips all throughout the game, just of things, cool plays that I think are interesting. And then from there, I think that kind of like informs whatever story I want to write that week. Or it can just literally be like, oh, I went to practice today and there was like a lot of discussion about the one seed. I should probably write something about that. So I think the stories generally are informed by the season. Like the season tells you what you should be writing that week.
It's cool that you have a proper internet connection to do those things live while the game is on and you're in the arena. Because I had this experience in Belgrade Arena. When was it? It was a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, when the guys from the DNVR came to Belgrade and we all watched together the Serbia versus Greece game in the World Cup qualifiers. And it was just a nightmare because there's no internet in the arena at all. Like either mobile or Wi-Fi, it just doesn't work because it's too many people there. So it's cool to hear that somebody can actually do their job, you know?
Yeah, well, it works. It works.
In this day and age. Okay. We'll take our last short break and then we'll go into the unknown. Some really random questions I've prepared for you and also from the audience in the chat. Don't go anywhere.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Okay, I want to start with a question I saw from Cedric Exquisite. He asked, can we get over 54 wins here, guys? So the Nuggets now have 38 wins and have 25 more games. So that would mean... I'm so bad at math. I'm usually not.
I'm doing the exact same thing right now. I'm doing the exact same thing.
So that's 16 wins in 25. So can they go better than 16 and 9? Indeed. Did I do that math right? 16 and... God damn it, it's not right.
What did he say? He said more than 55? Or I'm sorry, more than 54?
54, yeah.
Oh, this is a lot of math. All right, let's see here. This is good podcasting, right? When you have to look stuff up.
Yeah, we're completely 17? Prepared.
Yeah.
Okay, 17? So 17 more out of 25. So that's 17 and 8. That sounds manageable, right?
Yeah, they have. So the we'll have an answer to this question very quickly, because the next six games for the Nuggets are pretty tricky. They play Golden State on Sunday, then a break, then a home and home against Sacramento. Can they beat the fabled Sacramento Kings? And then the next night they play Miami, and then they fly to the Los Angeles to play the Lakers on Saturday. Then they come back to Denver for the Suns. And then 2 days later, they play the Celtics. So that's presumably what six above 500 teams in a row. Are the Lakers above 500 right now? They feel like they should be. Regardless, yeah. That's like the stretch that I think, to me, I look at that and I go, all right, we're gonna know pretty quickly. Is this gonna be that above 54 win season, or are we looking something below that? Because right now, the Timberwolves, even after the loss on yesterday to the Bucks, they are on a 57 win pace. So you got to be in that like 55, 56 ish win pace, I think, to me, if you want to be in that one or two seed this year in the West. I think that's what you're shooting for.
Yeah, I'm no Harrison Wynn, so I cannot break any wind chimes. But what I can tell you that one of the people that is close to one of the players on the team thinks that the Nuggets can go in these last 27 games, you know, after the break, something like 21-6, which is pretty amazing. And also pretty, I don't know if it's realistic, but it's something that you cannot take off the table for sure. Okay, another question from Gabriel Greer. I hope I pronounced that right. I can't help but imagine the Luka Jokic Nuggets in 2 years. It would be like Magic Kareem. 6 or 7 rings. Now, this is a very popular team. Everybody talks about it because Luka and Jokic are great friends. I actually believe that Nikola looks at Luka as his younger brother. He only has older brothers, and it's cool to have a younger brother too. But realistically speaking, it's not something that I don't think something that can happen before Luka signs another Supermax with Dallas, and maybe after that or something like that. Or maybe he just doesn't sign a contract and then you do a sign and trade. It's really difficult to make the math work. But do you feel like a basketball fan that would be the amazing fit everybody thinks it would be?
I think it would take an adjustment because Luka's primarily played with a center. Like, you look at the guy they have this year, Derek Lively, the rookie they took this year, like that's kind of the perfect fit for him, is this, like, you know, lob catching center, dynamic athlete, plays in the pick and roll. That said, I think playing with Nikola is the easiest thing on the planet. I mean, obviously it's good, but like, it is so easy to play with him, and I'd expect them, they're both like just genius players. They'd figure it out. It's like one of those things where, yeah, you can sit there, you could say like, oh, well, maybe, you know, maybe Luka wants a guy that's going to like catch lobs and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. All right. At the end of the day, like, these are really smart players, and smart players always figure it out. They do. Like, that's really 90% of the time, that's how it works.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. It's not the perfect fit, but, you know, when you have such transcendent superstars, it's they're going to figure stuff out, and especially because they can speak to one another in their secret foreign language.
Right. Well, you look at, like, you know, was LeBron and Dwayne Wade like the perfect fit? Not really, actually. I don't think they fit very well. Guess what? They won two championships together. Like, they, when you have great players, and that was with the end of kind of Dwayne Wade's career, or when things, his body started to break down a little bit, that even then, that team was outstanding because of how good those two guys were.
Okay, time for super random questions. So, okay, first one, maybe not as random. Can you name me some of your favorite players to watch not on the Nuggets?
Yeah. So this year, who was I watching? I was watching, these are like really random names. First couple of months, I was watching, weirdly enough, I was watching a lot of LaMelo, and I was watching a lot of Halliburton. I really like point guards that are really good passers. When I was growing up, I had two guys I really liked to watch. One of them was Kevin Garnett. The other one was Steve Nash. I loved Steve Nash as a kid. Just loved Steve Nash. So I always find myself gravitating towards these pass first kind of old school point guards that are exciting in that way. So I like those two guys a lot. I love Wemby. I'm like all in on the hype. I love Wemby, watching him. I think he's just like, it's one of those guys you just, I don't know, you've never seen anything like him. And I think those are the main ones. Oh, and I like watching OKC a lot. Their team's really fun. I love Shea's really fun to watch, but I love Jalen Williams. I just think he's like a really good player that pops every time I watch him. So those are a couple of them, but I'm pretty locked in with Nugget stuff. I've always kind of been that way. When I'm covering a team, I focus 90% of my energy on them. And when I'm not watching basketball for work, I'm not really watching that much basketball because I want a break. So that's how it works a lot of the time. It's not healthy. Yeah. I tried. Trust me, when I first got into sports writing, I would watch basketball like from sun up to sundown, and it would get to like game 60. And I'd be so burned out because I watched some random, you know, game between the Pacers and the Wizards the night before because I just wanted to watch basketball. And so I've learned to like give myself breaks. You got to do that. It's look, we love watching basketball. It's what we like to do, but you got to do other things in life as well.
Yeah. When you spend so much time watching the footage, it might be bad for your eyes to watch the color of the hardwood for so long.
Yes.
Like try switching, like go green. Like I've heard that green is really healthy for your eyes. So yeah, I agree with that. Okay. NBA rules, both in game and in season, that you would like to tweak. Whoa. If you could.
Oh, I love this. Oh, I love this question. Yeah, I remember seeing you. I saw this question when we were kind of going for the show. The shooting foul rules. All right. So the one I can't stand is when a guy just drives into the defender and bounces off and falls over, and it's a foul on the defender, even though he's got his hands raised high, like he's in legal guarding position. That rule needs to be changed. I bet you, I would assume that's going to be, it's really sounds like there's going to be some rule changes this summer. I think that one to me would be like the biggest one. Some of the shooting fouls, I don't understand. They're called inconsistently, and it just feels like we need like a really concrete set of rules for when a player specifically like goes into the defender's body. That stuff just needs to be fixed to me. And I really think it'll make the product a better watch. We'll have less time, you know, reviewing fouls or less time shooting free throws. There's no downside to me. Like, all right, maybe we have a couple fewer guys averaging 30 points a game. I think we can all agree, like, there's enough offense. Like, we get it. Everybody can score.
One more thing I would love to limit offenses just a bit with is just completely removing the defensive 3 seconds rule, because that's a gimmick. Yes. That's not the real basketball rule. It doesn't exist anywhere outside of the NBA, and it's a gimmick to make the defense impossible. Like, you're making guys step away from their natural position, defensive position, so they can obey the rule. And you can see Nikola Jokic exploiting that rule a lot. Like if he plays against the Jusuf Nurkić, he will just take him into the position and just waits 1, 2, 3. Okay, now he's moved and now I can do a layup.
Right.
That's not basketball. That's just dump. And I think even if they would remove the rule, you would still get probably 115 points per game. That's enough. Like I don't want to watch 200 or 380 points there was in the All-Star game. Let's just let guys play some defense for change. I mean, they're so good at defense. That's the thing. Like these guys are animals. These guys are the most physically prepared group of basketball players in the history. But the rules are just making their jobs impossible. When you think about how hard it is to get a wide open three-pointer nowadays, because everybody can shoot and everybody is ready to cover all that ground, but they still find a way to do it. It's just amazing what level of athletes today's basketball players in the NBA are, and let's just let them compete in a fair game. Okay, give me your favorite teams and NBA players. You already mentioned players, but teams you've liked growing up.
Oh, okay, that's a good question. My dad's from Minnesota, so I watched Timberwolves a lot as a kid. And I watched the Suns, I think, a good amount as well. That they were pretty good when I was a kid. But those are the two that I really watched. It's weird. I'm from San Francisco area. Never was a Warriors fan. Never got into
good
it.
Good for you.
I actually really don't like the team. I'm locked in for Sunday for sure. Yeah, I was never a Warriors fan. I don't know why. Pretty much everybody I know from home is, but I never was a big fan like that. Those two teams for sure, Minnesota and Phoenix growing up. But once I started working in the NBA, I stopped being a fan of any team. Not even because like I felt like as a journalist, it wasn't, you know, I needed to not be biased. No, it was just literally like I was covering the Nets and that was who I watched. And I knew because I'm only watching one team for work, I'm probably not going to watch any other teams like a diehard or anything like that. And like, how are you a fan of something if you're not watching them? I would say actually now really I'm a Nuggets fan. Like I've really become a fan of the team because they're just likable. And that's pretty unique for me to cover a team for work and like find myself rooting for them. But I don't know. The team's just like really likable and they have guys that are fun to watch. It's like kind of tough not to be a fan of them.
The American stories, origin stories are so funny to me. Like your father is from Minnesota and then you moved to Bay Area and then you moved to Brooklyn and then you moved to Denver. And it's like so many miles in between. It's just something we don't do in Europe that often. But
I guess
it is what it is. Okay, give me your favorite TV show, recent and all time.
Oh, man. Favorite TV show. You are putting me on the spot. Favorite TV show. My goodness. I watch the worst TV. Like I like watch reality TV, like wholeheartedly. I'm not even. Yeah, this is what I watch. So what was I watching right now? I'm watching. I'm watching Love Island with my girlfriend right now. And then favorite show. I was talking to my friends about Jersey Shore this week. So that's what I probably watch. A real answer. Favorite show ever. I don't know. Euphoria is really good. I watched that for the first time recently. I'm really not like a big TV fan, to be honest with you. But yeah, when I do watch TV, it's like the worst. Turn your brain off. My brain is melting because this is so bad.
Decompress from work stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really
it's also insulting. it's not very healthy to watch the screens for 15 hours per day, but I guess that's what most of us are doing nowadays. Last question, because I'm a huge fan of comedy as an art form, so do you know what's your favorite comedy movie or comedy movies of all times?
So I like, can I answer with stand-up?
Of course.
Like stand-up comedy? Okay, cool. I just saw a guy, Joey Avery, who I came across on YouTube. He was in Denver. That's something I do. I actually don't watch a ton of TV. I'll like click through comedians and stuff like that on YouTube. Like I really, a part of that was living in New York. I was pretty blessed to like watch awesome comedy all the time. But yeah, I just saw this guy, Joey Avery. I totally recommend him. He was in Denver playing at, I'm not even sure what the club was called, but yeah, I went there, and then kind of hung out with him after, which was really cool. So, we talked a little bit about, what his life is like. He was a baseball fan, I think. So I think we talked for like 2 seconds about the Rockies, cause there's not much to talk about there. And then it was cool. So that was really fun to meet him, but his comedy is awesome. Joey Avery, that's my recommendation.
That's a very, very high praise, and I'm gonna look into it immediately after after the show is over. Okay, this is all we've prepared for you guys today. It was really cool chatting with Matt and getting to know him. We are gonna have some more games next week to talk about. We'll see who will guest the next show. And I'm trying out something new for the end of the show. I'm just gonna end the show with a random Nuggets player from the Jokic era. So until we meet next time, Greg Whittington.